I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, ML Bierman with us. The book is Mojave Mysteries. ML, of course, is an outdoorsman, desert enthusiast, author and host of Mojave Mysteries, as well as the writer behind the acclaimed Western horror series of novels featuring monster hunter and cowboy character J. Everett Earl. Often referred to as the Rod Serling of the desert, his books and video series detail the strange, bizarre, and paranormal aspects of the vast Mojave Desert. They've thrilled and captivated audiences all over the planet. ML, welcome to the show. You were on with our colleague Ian about a year ago, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here, and thank you for donating an hour for us. I really appreciate it tonight.
No problem.
Now, the Mojave Desert, I was just going through the jurisdictions of where it is. What is so unusual about this desert?
It's two things. One, it's a hostile environment. I mean, it's an environment of extremes. You can, if you go to Death Valley, like you said, you can be on the hottest place on the planet at times. There's poisonous animals. There's all sorts of ways to get lost, and that's the second thing, is areas of it are very remote. There's places you can go and disappear or be disappeared.
Mm.
There's a reason the military has some of their most secret installations out there. It's, you know, it's a great place to go if you're trying to get away from something you've done or you want to do something that you don't want people to see.
It is vast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's what people don't really realize. I mean, to most people, the desert is that strip of dirt on either side of the highway as they're going to someplace else, you know, if they're L.A. to Phoenix or up to Vegas or Salt Lake City. They don't realize that in between those points, there is just vast areas of open desert and semi-remote desert.
ML, what's the connection to the strange and the paranormal? How did that happen?
Well, for myself personally, I first came to the desert back in the 1980s, and I had just been exploring, interested in just camping and looking at old mines and historical stuff. And once I got out here and I started meeting people, I found everybody had a story. Everybody had, some campfire tale or something weird that happened to them, or their friend had something happen. And I just kind of started collecting them. And being into history, I started looking at historical accounts, and I started matching things up. Like, some phenomenon seems to have a pedigree that goes back not decades, but hundreds of years. And you could find articles in the old newspapers from the 1800s. You could find journals, different stuff that talked about a lot of things that people were talking about today, UFOs, cryptid, strange creatures,
mm-hmm.
missing people, cults, murder victims, just general high strangeness is how I frequently describe it, because there's things you read and discover and hear about that just leave your head, you know, you scratch your head like
just spinning.
Yeah, exactly. And if you go to my YouTube channel, you see I've done episodes where I'll actually show the history and some of the old articles I found. And I mean, just crazy stuff, like the story I did on 30 dead men, nude dead men, that were found in the desert back in 1904.
30 and, nude dead men found in the desert?
Yeah. Now, you want to talk about a strange one. Okay. 1904, they were laying the railroad tracks, or getting ready to, from what was then Vegas, which was basically just a water stop, down to Los Angeles. And they sent out the surveyors in an expedition from Los Angeles. And they got out to that part of the desert that's right now is the border and between Nevada and California. And they started to find groups of bodies, dead men, five at a time, six at a time, seven. And over the course of 2 days, they found 30 individuals.
Now, were these railroad workers that
well,
they found?
That's the thing. The biggest thing about them at the time was they were naked. They had no clothing and were dead in these little groups. Now, a bunch of theories went around. The very first is, who is these guys? Who are these guys?
Yeah.
And, at the time, they said they were that they thought they might be transits or vagrants or workers that were crossing the desert trying to look for work at the railroad terminal. Now, one, it's a great way to refer to your workforce, right? The guys that are out there swinging hammers for you. The other thing is, why would they set off on foot through the Mojave in the summer? In, I don't know if you've ever traveled that corridor, but Google put its solar farm out there for a reason. It's hot.
It is hot. Hell. I've been there in a plane.
Yeah, right. It'll bake your skull in no time. So to set off on foot with no supplies is doesn't make sense.
It's suicidal.
Yeah, exactly, and especially a group. So, you know, the coroners were like, well, there's no wounds on these guys that would look like they were killed. You know, then the theories went around. Were they killed by an outlaw gang and robbed and left there? Well, no, there weren't those type of wounds on the bodies. Were they killed by some Native American tribe that still existed out there? Well, no, that wasn't really going on at that time. Were they the victims of a cult, or at the time they used to call it the Black Mass?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. And people were like,
Satan worshippers?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the question is, well, why would they kill these guys and dump them in, you know, five or six at a time?
Now, did they have stab wounds or anything like that, ML?
At the time, there was no, like, detailed forensic reports you could really refer to. The San Bernardino coroner was one guy who was run ragged going from, you know, killing to killing and trying to figure out. So as much as I could turn up, they said they showed no wounds. They had no clothes. They looked like they had been there maybe a week or so. Now, even a week in that sun, it's going to turn you black and bloated. For the most
part. Oh, my
part.
God. Plus the flies and stuff would be
unbelievable. And coyotes, you know.
Oh, yeah, they'd get torn apart.
Right,
now,
exactly.
Were these workers, or were these people transients, or just what makeup were they in terms of?
Well, that's what the articles all refer to them as, vagrants, transients, or railroad workers, which is kind of like, well, you know, is that an ethnic group? Is that a social economic group? Is, you know, what were they actually trying to refer to? If you try and read between the lines, you can't really tell, because in the 1800s, a lot of the railroad workers were Chinese.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Irish. And by 1900, I think they had already passed the anti-China statutes that they didn't want Asian immigrants anymore to California. So transients and vagrants sounds like it could be, you know, anyone off the barroom floor. So, you know, who knows? Now, there was a well out there, supposedly called Dead Man's Well, that was poisoned, and it was, supposed that maybe they drank from it and they all went crazy in one group and took off their clothes and ran through the desert, which doesn't really work either. So, long story short, there's a mystery. There's one of those things you point to and go like, okay, that's really weird. What is the real story behind it?
Exactly.
And that was 1904. Now, there's still people popping up in the desert, not 30 at a time, but that we still get bodies found all the time that this, you go like, well, what's the story behind this? How did this happen? Just down in Joshua Tree, a couple years ago, people driving down the main highway outside of town saw a fire, what they thought was a little brush fire burning just off the road. They got out and looked, and it was a woman's body.
Oh, and, my God. I get to Joshua Tree almost every year with an event I go to. I didn't hear about this one.
Yeah, 62, just past the hospital. So, now, there was a follow-up story where they thought someone had killed her and, thinking he was in the middle of nowhere, set the body on fire. Now, that's the other thing. Is a lot of people come to the desert and they think, like, these towns are like the middle of nowhere, but it's still civilization. It's once you get past those towns into the interior where it really gets nuts. Like just past Joshua Tree is 29, and once you're past that, there's a sign heading out of town that says no services for the next 100 miles.
Exactly. You're out of luck if something happens.
Yeah,
jeez.
Exactly. It means no 911, no police, no ambulance. You got to self-rescue. You got to take care of yourself. And, you're on your own. So those type stories I started accumulating a bunch of. And the more that I did so, I would get a reputation and people would like, oh, this guy, he'll listen to your story or he'll take it down or whatever. And people would come out of the woodwork with, oh, I never told anyone this, but one night I was driving home and, I'd get those type stories. So it led me to write the book. And the book being a combination of tales I've uncovered, tales people have told me, and then stuff I've discovered in the archives going back in newspapers and journals and stuff like that, which, like I say, covers everything from UFOs to what you would term, Bigfoot, in okay. modern parlance, and all these other little weird things, even up to like, the living dinosaurs or flying creatures or.
Of the phenomenon, ML, is there one area that kind of outshines the other ones, or are they all pretty balanced in terms of numbers?
Depending on the time. Now, these days, it seems to come down to UFO-type stuff or missing people, mysterious murders and cult-type stuff. If you were to go back 100 years, it was more of a spread because there were more things like, the 30 New Dead Men and the Abu Pass gang episode and stuff like that I found, which is outlaws and cults and kind of interrelated weird stuff. And you go back past that, and then you're into the time of Native American myths, legends, and tales, and there you're more into creation myth and supernatural medicine type stuff.
You get some ghost stories out that way, too?
There's one thing that I kind of termed the road ghost phenomenon, because it was something that I heard about in a present tense, but then also found a whole pedigree to it. And I had heard from some truckers that there was this tale going around, and this is something that I think every kid in school used to hear this, a guy on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere picks up a hitchhiker. It's a very pale woman. She doesn't say anything, gets in the car, drives along. He goes to check his mirror. He turns around, and she's gone. or she's turned into some sort of spectral figure and then screams and disappears. And then he stops at the diner ahead and confesses that he saw that, and someone goes, oh, you saw her too. You know, she died in a wreck out there 50 years ago or something.
Right, exactly. She wants to be let off at the cemetery or something.
Yeah, right. Or what was the other one with the claw hanging off the door handle?
The Lover's Lane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I won't go into the other parts of that one.
Yeah.
But, I had heard a variation of that from some truckers, and I heard one real interesting one where a guy said he stopped at the truck stop. He saw this guy standing there in a long duster, like a leather duster with a hat pulled down over his eyes, holding a sign saying, 40 more miles. And, he just kind of looked at the guy as he was with his wife, the driver. He pulled out, and this was at night, and they drove about an hour. And out in the middle of the desert up near Nipton, they came to an underpass, and here was the guy standing there with the same sign. And
wow.
He was like, no one had passed me. This was like 3 in the morning.
This is a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes, no one had passed me, and he was still there. So we drove by and kind of looked at each other like, oh, my God, that was weird. He goes, we go down maybe another half hour, and here's the guy again standing at the edge of a pull-off. They have the brake pull-off things for trucks out there. And he was like, half of me wanted to stop, kind of like, okay, I got to see who this guy is. But his wife was like, no way are you stopping this truck. So he passed him. So he had related that to me after we were talking about this road ghost ideas, and that was something that had personally happened to him. So I went and started looking at, okay, is this something that's reported a lot in the desert, or has it been reported before? And I found all these articles from the early 1900s and the late 1800s about, and I'm sure you've heard this term, the headless brakeman, which was like the railroad guys would be going through the desert at night, and they'd see lights swinging.
Mm-hmm.
Look like someone swinging a red lantern, a brakeman's lantern down the rail. And they'd stop, and they'd get out, and there wouldn't be anybody there, but the rails would be messed with, or the bridge would be washed out, or something that would have wrecked the train had they not seen these lights. And some people reported seeing a figure standing there by the track swinging the light, but they could never get close enough to talk to him. And they nicknamed him the Headless Brakeman because there was a story that a brakeman had died in a wreck and his head had been severed, and this was his spirit trying to protect his brethren out on the railroad. Now, I went back even farther, and I found that there was the exact same type thing with stagecoach drivers.
Jeez.
Who were running the same routes that eventually became railroads and highways, and that they had a mysterious figure that would be by the side of the road or by a water hole or a changing station, and that they could never get close enough, but would be standing there watching them or trying to signal them. And I thought, well, this is interesting. Here's something that kind of, it's a ghost story in that it's a spectral figure that no one can actually get a handle on. But it also has a phenomenon that repeats through almost 200 years of interaction with travelers out on the roads.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
how this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.